Good morning, everybody. It is 2:20 a.m. on Sunday, the 24th of August, 2014. And I'm often awake at this time, but I'm usually upstairs, just unable to sleep. However, we had some visitors tonight in the form of my sister and my niece, who's 17. And we had a trip down memory lane, which involved watching two DVDs of previous holidays when the kids were small. One was in 2000, and that was at a holiday park in a static caravan in Norfolk. The other one was down in Cornwall, and we stayed in a converted barn that was being converted into a cottage. I'm actually thinking that tomorrow, if I get a chance, I might put some of the audio on here. Obviously, I don't know how to convert it into a proper audio format, but I can just stick my phone in front of the speaker, basically, and just try and keep quiet or do a commentary. I'll only put short clips, but I just want to illustrate how quickly they grow up, because Ronan was coming up for three in the first one, and Connor was coming up for eight. And, well, obviously, I don't know where the time's gone, to be honest. And some of it made me... It's nice to look back on it in a way, but some of it's a little bit sad. It's tinged with a bit of sadness because, you know, you'll never get that time back. And I just say to people who've got young kids, make the most of them. Your time with them is precious every second. And I did do that because when I had the kids and they were little, I've got to say, were the happiest days of my life so far. They really were, because I enjoyed being a mother to the two young kids so much. They were both very different, but, you know, and they could be hard work at times, especially Ronan. But, you know, I loved the time when they were little. I loved buying all their toys and their clothes. And the one of the things that I really was so grateful for was the fact that I had two voluntary ladies who lived up in Scotland. They were both retired and both are sadly no longer with us. And they transcribed hundreds upon hundreds of books for me into Braille. The first baby picture books, they didn't have to do anything. They could just put clear plastic. They write in clear plastic Braille. They wrote and stuck it at the bottom of the page so that I could read it. And they'd put dots where, like, the appropriate pictures were. As the books became more advanced and had a lot more text, they'd send me a separate Braille copy, and I had files upon file upon file of these. I've got none of them left now, unfortunately, from different circumstances. I hadn't got room to store them, and I had a few left, and then we had the fire last year. So I was able to do something with them which otherwise I wouldn't have been able to do, because obviously I'm totally blind. They're fully sighted. And so I couldn't sit down and read them a book. And as most, you know, most kids love having a book read to them, a story at bedtime. And mine were no exception. And I was so pleased and so grateful to these ladies, and I still am now, that I had that time with them because of their dedication and their constant willingness to transcribe books. And if I didn't send any, they'd say, oh, they'd write to me or ring me and say, oh, have you not got any books? And so I spent hundreds of pounds on books. I was always in Smith's. That was my favourite place. I'd go in there with my sister. We'd pick out all these lovely books with all the beautiful illustrations, and we'd pick out the nicest ones. Some of my favourites were A Line at Bedtime by Debbie Gliori. I absolutely love that story. And another one was The Mouse Hole Cat. And I think that's based on like a myth, like a legend about a town in Cornwall called Mouse Hole. They actually pronounce it Mousel, but it's spelt Mouse Hole. It's not a town, it's a little fishing village, actually, I think. And it's about a cat, obviously. They were two of my favourites. Obviously, the Beatrix Potter, we had all those. They loved them. But we had so many books The Hungry Caterpillar was another favourite, and The Very Busy Ladybird, I think it was called. They were by Derek Carl, and there was another one about a spider. What was that called? The Something Spider. And then there was Beaver and the Echo, and oh, there's so many books we had. And we loved them. And then when they got a bit older, I used to get books from the National Library, which is now R&RB, Braille books to read to them. I read them all, the Harry Potter books, although we also listened to the CD versions, but read all those. reading was what I loved to do with them. Oh, I loved to play with them as well, but reading was a big thing that I enjoyed so much because, as I said, I shouldn't have been able to do it, and I could. And they learnt to read quickly as well. I never wanted them to miss out on anything, and I don't think they did. In fact, probably in some ways they had a more rounded childhood than many people, kids with sighted parents, because I wanted them. They were wanted. I'm not saying other kids aren't, but some aren't. You know, they weren't, you know, they were just a byproduct, if you like, some people's children. But mine were wanted and treasured. And I know most people's are. I'm not saying they're not, but I'm just saying that I took it, the job of being a mother, very seriously. Well, I still do, although they don't need me so much now, but I still take it seriously, and I always have done. So I might put some little clips tomorrow of them. And excuse my throat, I've been laughing so much. Some of it I can't put on there because they're really naughty. They're not really naughty. They're just the thing was, we went away without their fathers, and so there wasn't a total lot of control at times. But I'm sure I can find some little clips just so that I can have their voices on there and listen to them whenever I want to. There's one bit that was which brought tears to my eyes, and that was, I don't think I've ever really heard this bit before. I've never taken notice of it, and it was on the first one in 2000, and Ronan was coming up for three. In fact, he had his third birthday while we were in the caravan, and he at the time was mad on dinosaurs. All little boys go through this, I'm sure, and probably some girls. I remember we were laughing just now. I remember I bought him all these dinosaurs. He had hundreds of the things, and he bit most of their tails off. For some bizarre reason, most of them had half a tail by the time they got thrown away. But he had this one. It was a pterodactyl, and we called it Monst, and he was frightened of it. He used to have this thing that Monst was going to come flying in the window, even though we tried to tell him it wasn't. But then when we went on holiday, he said that Monst was in these trees at the back of the caravan, and we didn't disagree. I know we probably shouldn't have scared him like that, but the only reason we did it was because there were five kids, and they ranged between 10, 7, 4, 3 and 2. And the older ones would go and play outside in the, you know, just outside the caravan, and I didn't want him going out there in case he wandered off. I was terrified of losing him. And that never changed either, because he was a little bit of a handful. And so if we thought Monst was in those trees, I let him believe that, because then he wasn't going to go anywhere, you know, he wasn't going to wander. You know, every time he went out the caravan, I'd say, well, make sure you stay nearby, because you remember Monst is over in them trees. And then there was a particular day, my oldest nephew, Louis, he was 10 at the time, got hold of the camera, and he was just filming randomly out the window. He was just filming the trees and the grass and other people's cars and stuff in, you know, and other caravans for, I don't know, a good 10 minutes, maybe even 15 or something. And you could hear all the talk going on in the background, so it doesn't make any difference to me that he wasn't filming what you could hear. You know, you could hear the kids. And then Ronan goes up to him and says, what are you doing, Louis? Because he talked like that, because he's only a toddler. What are you doing, Louis? He said, I'm just filming, and I'm outside. And he says something, I'll try and get this on there. He says, be careful, Monst's out there, and don't go over there, because he'll get you. and he will bite you and he will scare you. And then he apparently looks at like at the camera and he's got his face covered in chocolate because it was just after tea in the evening. He had a chocolate biscuit or a mousse or something. And obviously I couldn't see that bit. But that bit, I must admit, you know, it really choked me up a bit. And, you know, some of it was very funny, and there's bits I can't put on because they're so visual it would be a waste of time. There's a bit which I might put on where Ronan and his niece actually had a fight, and then they both ended up bawling their eyes out afterwards, and there was me trying to get them to say sorry to one another, and they were both refusing because she was washing his face with a wipe and she got too carried away and she was pushing his head up against the side of the... like the worktop. They were near the door, and near the main door, and she was kind of got a bit too much, and then she went woo 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 like that with the cloth in his face. She got carried away, and of course he slapped her, and because she'd hurt him, and then that was it. They were off. They were fighting, and I mean we laughed. We shouldn't really laugh, but when you look back on it, it is quite funny. But it's nice to have the memories. I've got some of them on cassette somewhere, but I've got no cassette player anymore. So I one day would like to get that put onto some digital format so I can listen to it again. That's just my two. And I've got them at different stages. There's not a lot of footage, but there's a little bit. And I wish I'd had Audio Boo back in the day because I would have had a field day with it and I would have had so much to listen to. And now I've only got these. Well, they're quite... There's like an hour and a half on each video, I suppose. And they're 2 years apart, as I said, I think. One's in 2000, one's in 2002. And there's a bit which I can't put on there because it's just a load of noise. It's funny to watch, though. It's when they're in the swimming pool at the holiday park, and there's no way putting it on there because all you can hear is screaming and stuff, and there's a flume, so there's a lot of noise of the water and the acoustics. You know what it's like in there, in these places, it's very echoey. But I was in the water with them. My sister was filming because she always did all the filming, and it was most of it, unless the kids got hold of the camera recorder, which is as it was back then. And I was in the pool with the kids, and they were going... Ronan was going bananas, jumping on everybody and going mad. They were all going mad and splashing, and you know how excited kids get in the water. And then my sister kept the camera was on them, and then she would keep flicking it back, and then you'd see my dog, my guide dog. His name was Hudson, and he was actually... I left his harness on for the simple reason I was in the pool, and so he wasn't with me, and I didn't want anyone thinking, because dogs obviously aren't allowed in there normally, that he shouldn't be there. So he had his harness on and he was laying down as good as gold just by the edge of the pool, you know, by where you go to go in the showers. And she kept, like, you know, you get people saying no dogs, no dogs allowed, they won't have dogs in their taxis and that, and then you look at all these kids going absolutely bananas, and you look at this dog and he's just laying there, you know, like he does this every day, and you know, as good as gold, bless him. Yeah, so it was nice to watch that, and we did have a good laugh, but we all saw the sad side to it. Even Ronan, he said when he watched it a couple of weeks ago, because I've had these things for years. I mean, they've been all over the world with me, to be honest. I've taken them. They've been to America to show people, and they've been to Nigeria, and they're really my sisters. But she doesn't look after things like that very well, so they don't. They won't. She lent them to me at the time, and they've never gone back, and they never will go back, because I know I will always treasure and look after them. But they've recorded some of it on their phones anyway, so. They've got some of it. And there's a lot more on the camera that we never took off. It's still on the film somewhere. Whether we'll ever get that, I don't know. But Ronan said when he watched it again, we've seen it loads of times over the years, but he actually cried at it. And it is kind of sad when you look back. Because, you know, those days are gone. We did enjoy it at the time, even though they were a little bunch of little you-know-whats. They were... I'm just going to wind my clock up, and I don't know what time it is. I'm going to hazard a guess on what time to put it. My poor grandfather clock that can't chime anymore, and that says
10:15. That's certainly not the time. Okay. Let's try and wind you up, Mr. Clock. Now, I think you're going to be about something to 3. One of these days, if I get the money, I will get this clock repaired. But the fire has damaged the movement in it, and the clock part works, but the chime doesn't work anymore. What was that? I just pushed something underneath. Oops. Oh, it's okay, it doesn't matter. Whatever it was has fallen down inside the clock, but that actually doesn't matter because... I should put it at 3:25. I've no idea if that's the right time, but I can do it by touch, if anyone's wondering. Now, so you have to pull the weights up, but I've only got one to do because the others don't work. Oops. Just crudely start the pendulum screen, I'm afraid. Now, is that going to start? Okay. I'll leave it a while and see. Sometimes it stops and I have to start it up again. I don't know the official way to start a pendulum swinging, and apart from swinging it, and that's what I did, but I don't know if that's the right thing to do. The tick still sounds a bit uneven, but sometimes it usually settles itself down. I've had a really bad back the past couple of days. It's on the right hand side, kind of just below my ribs. It's not where I had it earlier in the year. I've never had a problem with my back, and then I've had it twice in 2 different places in the same year. It happened on Tuesday, and it wasn't that bad then. I went to bed with a hot water bottle. I woke up Wednesday, it was fine. I shifted Niall's bag of food on Wednesday. I did all the hoovering on Thursday. And then when I woke up on Friday, I think I remember turning over in the night and it feeling it kind of go twang. And when I woke up Friday, I could hardly walk. It was really that bad. And I spent most of Friday just laying on my back in bed, because that was the only way I could get any relief from it. And I can't take... I can take paracetamol, which I've been taking, but that... although it doesn't really help, it does do something. It takes something away from it, because I've been taking it every 6 hours since Friday morning. I actually forgot to take it this afternoon, and I can feel it a bit more again now. Sometimes I can almost forget it's there now, but if I just move in a slight, if I slightly move, sometimes it hurts more than moving around a lot. And it's right at the area where you bend, you know, bending down to pick something up's not so bad. I put my arms behind my back, it hurts. Putting them up in the air doesn't. Anyway, it's been a bit of a raw pain, to be honest. And the last couple of days haven't been great with it, but I think it's probably reached its peak now, and you learn to cope with it kind of after a while. The last time I had it, they said I had something, condonitis or something, I can't remember, which is inflammation of the ligaments between the ribs, and I don't know how I did that at all, and I had it for 5 weeks. But I think this is worse in a way, because I could keep that at bay a lot by how I used my hands. If I tried not to use my left arm so much, then it didn't hurt. But the other thing is, I can't take any ibuprofen, no anti-inflammatory, because of my kidneys. Last time they said I could take ibuprofen gel, so I bought some and I nearly used up the whole tube, and it did help. This time I texted Obi, I said, on the way home, can you get me some more ibuprofen gel? When he got it home, it had Braille on the outside. I read it, it said maximum strength, 10%. I looked at the other box and it said 5%. I said, hold on a minute, I better ring the hospital. So it was out of hours, it was last night, Friday night, that is.
I called them. You have to call one of the wards at King's College Hospital, and then you can speak to somebody there. I said, can I speak to one of the doctors? They said, oh, they're with the patients at the moment. I said, okay, can you get them to ring me back? So 2 hours later, they hadn't rung me back. So I rung again. This time I got somebody different. She went away. She brought the doctor back, and he said, don't take it at all. So I'm left with paracetamol, codeine. Now, codeine, I haven't got any codeine. I've got cocodamol, but if you're taking paracetamol, you can't take cocodamol as well. Paracetamol is okay, but codeine is notorious for giving you constipation. And on the kind of dialysis I'm on, that is the last thing you want, believe me. This time last year, I was on this very day, the 24th of August, I was actually admitted into hospital for 3 days with it. Because of my dialysis, and it wasn't any fun. It was very painful. Hold on a sec, I think this battery might be going. Okay, I've got 11% left. Yeah, I was in hospital with it, and it was not fun. It was extremely unpleasant and rather undignified as well, so I don't want to go down that road again, so I just have to kind of grin and bear it and try with the paracetamol, which I've got to try and take now. Well, I will take now, but I've missed a dose because I've been taking them at 10, 4, 10, 4, and I missed 4 this afternoon. No, I didn't. I missed 10 this evening, and I'm nearly up to 4 again now, so I'll just carry on as if I took 10, but the thing is, took 10, the one at 10 p.m. that is, not, I didn't take 10. I think you need to have them, to make any use out of paracetamol, you have to take them every 6 hours, not just take 2 and hope that they work, because they don't. I think if you have a build-up of them in your system, you've got more chance that they will actually do something, which is what I've been doing. Obi's got work in the morning, which is in basically in a couple of hours. He's got 2 clients, and then he's off for 2 weeks, which is really good. He's got things planned, but he's got stuff to do, I mean. But hopefully we can go out and spend some of that time together. Hope my back's better, because it's actually no fun at all. The worst thing is being in bed at night and trying to sleep, which so I'm quite thankful that half of the night's gone already before I even try that. I have to have about 4 pillows, and I have to prop myself up, and I have to lay on my back. I can't lay on either side because it pulls on the muscles somehow. So I have to be on my back, and I don't sleep on my back. It's not a natural position for me, so it's not really the most best thing in the world. It's not the most comfortable thing, but I'm not complaining, because at least it's better than it was last night, I think. That's Ronan's radio. This is TV, actually. It's on a radio station. Radio 1 Extra, you can hear. I will, as soon as he goes to sleep, turn it off, as I always do. I'm still downstairs. Is the clock ticking? I don't think it is. Sometimes you can't hear it for the silence. I can't explain that. Sometimes you're so used to the sound of it that you don't... Oh, standing up is a bit of a killer. Now, are you ticking or aren't you? I'm not. Okay, you little bugger. That's what happens. You see, after about 5 minutes, it stops. I'll just have to wait here and see. Oh, I'll tell him to turn his music down when I go upstairs as well. He's only just gone up when my sister left. Actually, he did go up before. He went up to bed, but he couldn't sleep because we were making too much noise downstairs laughing. That sounds better now, that tick. I'm quite sad about my clock. I love the chimes on it, but I can't afford to get it done. I had an estimate on it when the insurance company took it away, because we lost everything in the fire, actually. We kept to manage to find photos and a few things like that. We lost everything else. I asked to keep the clock. There were certain things that I did keep, even though they were damaged or potentially damaged, and that were my brailers and my clock, and because it had sentimental value. And they sent it away. Excuse me, I've got really itchy eyes. I think it's the cat. And they sent it away to be evaluated, and they said it cost £1,500. Well, my insurance paid out in full, but it still wasn't really enough, because you know what it's like. An example is your laptop. Okay, how old was your laptop? Well, it was 2 years old. Oh, it's not new then. So they'll cut down on the value they give for that, for instance. But you still got to buy a new one, so they don't really pay out in full, if you see what I mean. It's a bit of a con, insurance. I'm not even going to go down that road. Plus the fact I'd cut mine about 2 months before, because I was trying to cut down on costs everywhere, monthly costs. I cut mine, you know, I said, oh, we'll never need that much. I'll cut that down. I'll cut it down quite a bit. Can you believe it? So I couldn't afford that, because I had to spend about £7,000 went on them clearing this house. A company came in and cleared it, and they charged me about £7,000, plus some of the stuff like the clock and that was stored for 4 months, because we had to move out. Oh, I've just done my back again. We had to move out for 4 months while it was redecorated and refurbished and what have you. So the clock, I had it back in its state, which is the movement. It stopped at 4:45. It's right outside the kitchen door, so where the heat came out, it was right in the firing line, literally. The top of it's charred. You can see the wood is darker, and I can feel it. It's like rough. The glass on the face of the clock is cracked. You have to be very careful when you're opening the door. The other glass is okay, because that was lower down, so obviously the heat rises, but the heat in here was intense. And the movement, someone said, has been damaged. I think what happened is probably if there's any plastic components, they've melted and the metal expanded, and it's probably gone out of shape or something. I don't know. I've never really seen the workings inside it, apart from the weights. You can feel it, but I don't really know what bit does what. There's a little lever that you pull down which can change the chimes, or you can have it on silent, actually. But it's on silent now, but not through choice. It's just because the movement doesn't work. And it actually stopped at 4:45. The fire started about 4:30. And the clock was stuck at 4:45. Which was when it was at its peak, actually. Bad memories, not nice. So, I'd love to get it repaired. I'll get a new movement put in it, but I just haven't got that kind of money, you know, not for a clock, not to spend on a clock. Oh, my great giddy aunt. You can guarantee it, whatever time of night I do an audio boo, someone goes to the toilet without closing the door. I don't know who that is. It's either Ronan or Connor, I think, because Obi's asleep. Obi didn't come down when my sister was here. He wasn't being antisocial, but he was looking at learning his theory for the his driving test. There's a lot to know, because he's a driver, but he's never driven in the UK, so there's lots of things. Well, everyone on Audioboo knows my toilet's got a good flush on it. I think it's Ronan. If he closes his door, I know. Well, he hasn't closed his door. But it's not Connor, because Connor's door drags on the carpet because the carpet was too thick. It's not really thick carpet, but it drags a bit. Of course, it was all new carpet. We needed new carpet anyway up there, but that's not the point. Oh, excuse me. That's because I've got itchy eyes. I don't know where the dogs are. Well, Niall's in his bed, but I don't know where... He was laying down by my feet now, but I don't know where Lammy's gone now. He's probably gone up to bed. Oh, I can't stand that music all night. I tell you, it drives me up the wall. As soon as I get the opportunity, he'll shut his door in a minute and turn it down, but I'll be awake and I'll go in there and turn it off. They play the most awful music in the night on that station. It's quite good in the daytime. Anyway, my clock is ticking really nicely now. I don't think you can hear it above the music. I'll just shove the phone in that direction. I'll probably hurt my back in the process, but I'll try not to. I love that sound. It's very, very soothing to hear a clock. Any clock ticking, actually, I like, even if it's a battery one. I've got a little battery one in my bedroom. You can hardly hear it, but at night when it's really quiet, you can. Anyway, I think that's about it now. And I hope everyone has a nice bank holiday weekend. It's been quite cool here today. Well, the sun was warm when it was out, but at night it's got very cold at night. I actually even put my heating on for about 10 minutes this evening. Because when my sister came around, she said, I'm freezing. Okay. Oh, and after we had the gas safety check on Thursday and everything was pronounced to be fine, Ronan came last night and said, why is the downstairs hot tap not working and the one up here? And I said, oh no. And I said, it's the boiler, the pressure must have dropped. Well, I don't know how to reset it. I'm sure it's probably pretty easy. You probably just have to press some button or other, but I called them out today. I didn't bother ringing them up last night because they would have come out probably. Because if there's anyone, if you've got young children, elderly person or anyone disabled in the household, they come out straight away. And because obviously I'm classed as disabled, that's got to be an advantage. I don't very often see many advantages in it, but when you find them, don't knock them because they come out straight away. So I knew if I rang them up in the morning, they'd be out the same day. And we can live without hot water. We've got a shower. We've got a dishwasher. We've got a washing machine that heat up water. We've got a kettle if we want to wash things up by hand or whatever. So they came out this evening and they weren't even here 5 minutes. I knew what the problem would be. But the trouble is, I don't know why it's happened, because it happened a couple of times when we first had the boiler put in, and they said it usually happens once after you've had it put in, but this happened about 3 times, and in the end they said it's a sign of a leak, and they found a little tiny leak in here. One of the radiators in the lounge was leaking just a little bit, so I hope we haven't got another leak somewhere, so I'll be on the lookout for that now. And at some point tomorrow I will go round checking all the radiators. I didn't really feel like it today because of my back. It means bending down, getting into all sorts of corners which are difficult in the kids' rooms, climbing over things and stuff. So tomorrow I will go round and at least make sure all the radiators are okay. Of course it could be in the pipework somewhere, but as far as possible I will check that everything is okay. But I said I didn't come down because I was doing dialysis at the time when the bloke turned up. I said to Obi, can you please get them to show you how to do it? because they're all computerised, and warnings and things and messages come up on the boilers nowadays, and it's less than a year old anyway, so we shouldn't have any trouble with it. So the man that came out was actually the bloke that installed it. I spoke to him on the phone anyway, but I didn't see him because I didn't come down. But I said to Obi, can you get him to show you how to do it in case it happens again? We can't call them out every time because of that, unless it keeps happening, and then I'll have to get them out to see if there's a leak somewhere, if I can't find it, or if we can't find it. So at least he knows what to do now, and I will get him to show me what to do as well, because obviously I might be here on my own one day, and it's in my own interest to know such things. I know where all the fuses are and stuff like that, so I know how to turn the water off and all these things that one should know. So I suppose I really ought to know how to deal with the boiler. Anyway, folks, I am going to love you and leave you for now, and have a good weekend, everybody, if I don't speak to you before then. And oh, by the way, thank you for all the comments and the really lovely messages, direct messages I've received following my audio boo on Thursday called A Bit of a Dilemma. I didn't expect that at all. I just found it therapeutic. Audio boo, I love audio boo for so many reasons. And my battery is going to go, so I better not go on about that now. But I'll just tell you quickly why I like it so much. I love to hear a bit of other people's lives. Some people are just so interesting, whatever they'd say or do. I just enjoy listening to them, their voices, or I don't know, I just... there was a time at the beginning of this year when I wasn't very well, and I was kind of housebound. I was almost bedbound for a month or so, and that's when I really started to get into audio boo. I hadn't done any boos at the time, but I started to listen to friends on Facebook's audio boos, and then I started to listen to friends of their friends, you know. I looked down to see who they're following in case there was anyone else I knew, and in some cases there were. And so I'd listen to them, and that's when I got hooked on it, kind of, because I realised that I was stuck indoors and it was winter and it wasn't a very good time, and there was everyone else going out for meals and going out for walks in the country, and you could hear all the sounds going on, going around London on the underground. You could hear Mind the Gap, you know, all that Mind the Gap between the train and the platform, or Mind the Doors Please, and all that, you know, and think, oh, life's it's going on out there, it's still there. And it made me want to get back out into it really badly. And that's what that started me off on audio boo. And that's why I still love it today, because I love hearing everybody's outdoor adventures, and or even if they're just talking. And the other thing, I like to keep memories of my own stuff. Not me talking really, but like if I do soundscapes, I enjoy soundscapes too. And if I hear other people's soundscapes, you know, I like those. And I like to do bits of clips of my family or going out somewhere and things like that, because I can't look at photos, and this is like my photo album, if you like. And then there's the times like now when I just sit and reflect about life or whatever, and I find that therapeutic. Talking about my transplant issue, for instance, I can't talk to anyone close to me about it properly. I can't, because they don't understand. They're too heavily involved in it. They just think it's a case, oh, well, yes, well, if they can do the transplant, let them do it. Yes, what are you waiting for? It's that kind of attitude, and they don't realise, because I can't convey it to them. There's so much else involved. So talking about it on audio boo, because I wasn't talking to anyone in particular, it was very therapeutic for me to kind of, because it doesn't just get it out of my system, it helps me to get it into some kind of perspective. And I know that may sound silly, but that's how I feel about it. And so I did get some really nice DMs and some comments on the boo itself. And I'm really thankful to everybody that they, you know, for their kindness and support, words of support. That's what they have been. Great support from everyone. Thank you. I will keep you all posted, and I will get back to you all at some point. I'm deluged in direct messages from over the past couple of weeks, maybe about a month, and I like to take my time over them. When I sit down to do an audio book, I just tend to spout on about whatever comes into my head. But when I do an audio, a direct message, I have to take my time over it, because I have to go back and listen to what the other person said so that I can make an informed comment on what they had to tell me. And some people have sent lots of messages, and some of them are long. So I do need to go back and look over them. And I do feel rude sometimes. And I just want to say generally, I'm sorry if you think I'm rude. I'm not. It's just I don't really have a lot of time to do it. I like to do them when I'm on my own, really. I don't ever sit outside and do personal messages. I don't know why, I've just got that thing. If I do a public boo, I'll sit out in the garden or wherever, but if I'm doing a personal one, I actually like to do them at night, and I actually like to do them upstairs. I don't know why, that's where I like to do them. And so I got into the habit of doing it when Obi was doing night shifts at the care home, and he hasn't done any for the last couple of weeks. And now he's got 2 weeks off, so I will try and do a couple of DMs in the daytime, but I like to do them when I can't sleep at night. And short of keeping him awake with all my banter and stuff, if I do it upstairs, it means I've got to come and sit down here, which I don't know why I don't particularly like doing in the night. I have done it occasionally, but I prefer to try and sleep, even if I don't succeed, which most of the time I don't till morning. Anyway, I don't know how long this boo is, and I'm sure the 10% thing's come up now. Let's listen. Dismiss. Yes, it has. And I'll see. Publish. One orientation lock. Publish. But 1% matter. Oh, I've got 1%. This is going to go. Oops. Okay, bye for now. I've got to save it quick.